ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, entitled The Glories of Devotional Service, Text Number 16. Aham mama bhimanothai kamalobadi bhirmalaihi vitam yata manashuddham adukham asukham samam aham mama bhimanothai kamalobhadibhirmalaihi vitam yata manashuddham adukham asukham samam aham mama bhimanothai kamalobhadibhirmalaihi vitam yata manashuddham adukham sukham samam aham I mama mine abhimana from the misconception uthaihi produced kama lust lobha greed adibhi and so on malaihi from the impurities vitam freed yada when manaha the mind shuddham pure adukham without distress asukham without happiness samam equipoised. When one is completely cleansed of the impurities of lust and greed produced from the false identification of the body as I and the bodily possessions as mine, one's mind becomes purified. In that pure state, it transcends the stage of so-called material happiness and distress. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kama and Lopa are the symptoms of material existence. Everyone always desires to possess something. It is said here that desire and greed are the productions of false identification of oneself with the body. When one becomes free from this contamination, then his mind and consciousness also become freed and attain their original state. Mind, consciousness, and the living entity exist. Whenever we speak of the living entity, this includes the mind and consciousness. The difference between conditional life and liberated life occurs when we purify the mind and the consciousness. When they are purified, one becomes transcendental to material happiness and distress. In the beginning, Lord Kapila has said that perfect yoga enables one to transcend the platform of material distress and happiness. How this can be done is explained here. One has to purify his mind and consciousness. This can be done by the Bhakti Yoga system, as explained in the Narada Pancharatra. One's mind and senses should be purified. Tat paratvena nirmalam. One's senses must be engaged in devotional service to the Lord. That is the process. The mind must have some engagement. One cannot make the mind vacant. Of course, there are some foolish attempts to try to make the mind vacant or void, but that is not possible. The only pure process that will purify the mind is to engage it in Krishna. The mind must be engaged. If we engage our mind in Krishna, naturally the consciousness becomes fully purified and there is no chance of the entrance of material desire and greed. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे भूतैर्महाद्भिर्ययिमा पुरो विभु निर्माय शेते यदमूष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मकः सोऽलङ्कृशीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे हरे कृष्ण हियर् दिस् वर्स् is very profound because it is giving the root cause of suffering and the happiness which is beyond the so-called material happiness and distress. So in one sense it is digging into the root and at the same time it is going beyond the material norms of happiness and distress. In that way, this verse is quite significant. Usually, when you talk about diseases, there are ample of them. You know, it can start from just cold and flu, and it can go higher in degree, and it can come up to many of the terminal diseases to the body, like cancer or like AIDS, or which are quite terminal. At the same time, there are diseases to the mind. So in Western terminology, there could be different diseases, could be either depressions, maybe bipolar or schizophrenia. There could be many terminologies for many diseases. Or according to Ayurveda, it could be imbalances of different airs, the imbalance of vata. So there are different terminologies to describe different diseases, both gross and subtle, in the sense that which affects the mind. However, in Srimad Bhagavatam, we are dealing with diseases of the mind. So these diseases of the mind are going to the root of the diseases of the mind. And they are described in this verse as Kama Lobha Dibhi. It is starting from Kama and Lobha, starting from lust, greed, anger, etc. So when we talk about the diseases of the mind, we may think that one has to be a bit weird in its behavior or mind has to be affected significantly according to the medical conditions. However, from a Bhagavatam perspective, everyone's mind is diseased. So that is Kama Lobhadaya. In fact, that's why as we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see again and again describing Kama and Lobha, etc. The diseases of the mind, the six enemies of the mind. So these are the diseases of the mind. They keep us in the material world. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his prayers, in Sharanagati, chants this very beautiful song. It is Emona Durmati Samsare Bhitore Podiya Achinu Ami. This wicked mind has brought me into this material existence. And this wicked mind is keeping me in material existence. So if you try to understand what is the cause of material existence, it is nothing but the mind, which is already afflicted by different kinds of diseases. And they are 6 in number when we analyze to the core. So this is our existence in the material world. So we don't really consider these core diseases as diseases in itself. And of course, for the gross diseases, especially the terminal diseases, a lot of research is being done, a lot of money is being spent, which is good, at least trying to address, but that is not all in all. If you go to Carlton, near Melbourne Uni, there is a new cancer research center opened, I think this year or end of last year. Costed maybe $1 billion. Big project. So this is disease, terminal disease, and that is trying to be adequately addressed by the medical system. And of course, to a certain degree, the mental diseases are also addressed in terms of treatment, but often it is said there is no enough funding for the mind-related diseases in Australia. But when it comes to the real diseases of the mind, who is there to address these diseases? So there is no one in the material world. So Bhagavatam is addressing this issue. So that's why here in this verse itself, Kama Lobhadipi is given stress, and we can see in many other verses in Srimad Bhagavatam also, Kama, Lobha, etc., the 6 enemies of the mind as stressed and explained. So Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Mada, Moha, Matsarya, the 6 enemies, lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy. They are the 6 enemies of the mind. In fact, mind in itself is a very difficult topic to understand, because we have difficulty understanding mind with the mind. So it is like, you know, chasing the tail of a dog. You know, it's a difficult circle. You know, it is very difficult to catch mind. That's why even the psychologists, they have difficulty in understanding mind in a true sense. I was speaking to a psychology student recently studying in Melbourne Uni. So he was mentioning to me, we need statistics to make psychology a science, or to see it to feel like it is a science. To get a feeling of science, we need statistics. Otherwise, it is nothing but different speculative theories to explain mind, because we don't know what is mind. But since there are volumes of data, the sheer volume of data, that makes it difficult to analyze, and for that statistics is required, and there are different graphs and different models to explain the mind, different trends of the mind. So that looks like it's a science, but it's not really a science. So this is the mind, and people do spend, you know, the whole life thinking about mind, and we also spend our time in mind, you know, thinking so much, worrying so much. So do we really think that we spend a lot of our time in our mind, spending time, mentaling? We spend a lot of time. If we really analyze our day, we can see we spend a lot of time in our mind thinking so many different things, which may not be very necessary. So this is the state of the mind. And Srila Prabhupada here writes that Kama and Lopa are symptoms of material existence. Everyone always desires to possess something. It's a sum and substance statement. Everyone always desires to possess something. When you talk about kama, material desires, or when we talk about lobha, greed, the essence is that we want something all the time. Isn't it true? Prabhupada writes it in a very simple fashion. We need something all the time. So that shows that we are in material existence. And we think, isn't it our rightful claim to desire? Isn't it our rightful claim to ask for something, to desire something? Our needs, our wants, isn't it our rightful claim? We do think in that way. We think it's our birthright. You know, we have to desire. We need things. That's the way life is. However, when we see Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam gives a different perspective. that if we desire something material, then we are prolonging our material existence. Bhagavatam doesn't say, okay, you desire as you wish. No, we are prolonging our material existence. Just like in Srimad Bhagavatam, we can hear the pastime of Bharat Maharaj. He desired to associate with deer. Then what happened? He became a deer so that he can get complete association of deers. Bhagavatam says, if a man think about woman all the time and if his consciousness is fixed on woman, then what happens? At the time of death, one gets a woman's body, a female body. So, okay, you desired female association, you have a female body, you can experience completely the female body, and then he can experience other female bodies also without any restriction, very easily. You can be part of female chatter. You don't need to do anything. So this is the reality. Same with the other side. If female likes the male association so much, okay, then get a male body and experience this completely. So this is material existence. So what we desire, we may get it. Not necessarily this lifetime, but next lifetime, according to the rules of material existence. So we need to be careful.
Sometimes it can be in this lifetime.
So we have made progress, so it can happen in this lifetime as well. So it is insignificant. In one sense, the body is insignificant, Bhagavatam shows in the Sudumna pastime, right? The gender can be changed even in this lifetime. It was a part of the curse, but currently it is done on a more gross level. Even as devotees, we have to be careful. What is our meditation? Because we are prolonging our material existence. What is in our mind? It matters. This story of this particular Mataji became quite famous, right? In ISKCON, I read in a few articles on her that she started remembering her past life. You know, the past life memories are classified into a few different categories. One is spontaneous recollection of the past. So she, at certain occasions, this particular Mataji from London, she had spontaneous recollection of her past life as a brahmachari. Interesting. And then even her Guru Maharaj encouraged her to do past life regression because so many dreams and so many things were going on in her mind, remembering her past. Then she came out to be a brahmachari in her previous life. In fact, a Prabhu's disciple. I think, what's the name? Raghav Das Brahmachari, Prabhu's disciple, who met with an accident and he had an untimely death in one sense, you know, in young age. And he was attached to a particular Indian Mataji. That was also came out, that he was attached to a particular Mataji. And that was in his consciousness. Because if somebody is attached to someone, then one goes through the state of attachment and aversion. So one is attached to someone and one wants to keep a distance, then one go into the mode of aversion. So he was going through the stage of both attachment and aversion in the mind. And he met with an accident, a motor accident. And then he got a body of a female. And Prabhupada wrote a letter to, after the departure of Raghav Das Brahmachari, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to have a remembrance. After his departure. And in this letter, Srila Prabhupada wrote, since he has left the body, next lifetime he is going to get a body which is suitable for further advancement in Krishna consciousness. And indeed, that happened. So he got a body as a female. And there, he continued his devotional service in the female body, in a Mataji body. So this is material existence. Right? And she had, Raghav Das Brahmachari, he was very good with Harinam. He used to go for Harinam. And this Mataji, she was also completely into Harinam. She could play the African drums straight, directly into the Harinam. So this is a reality. So according to our attachment in the mind, we get the next birth. So the real disease, the real terminal disease is that of the mind, which are numbered 6. And that can give us unlimited deaths, not one death, unlimited deaths. Because there is birth and there is death. So this is material existence. So Bhagavatam clearly warns us about the engagement of our mind. How are we going to use our mind in Krishna service? It is not just external, but it is internal. Great acharyas like Raghunath Das Goswami compares these diseases of the mind to highway robbers. Why? Because highway robber is not going to give an early notice. Okay, now I am going to come this and this time I am going to rob. No, they are going to come out there, they are going to steal whatever they can and they just run away, flee away. In the same way, these enemies of the mind, starting from lust, anger, greed, etc., they are not going to give any particular notice. We'll be sitting any time, anywhere. They just come and attack. Right? It happens to us. Any time. It can be at any point, any time. It can be while chanting. It can be in front of the Lord. It can be while honoring prasadam. It can be while reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Any time, these enemies can come and they can attack us. So this is really dangerous. And what do they do if we get into it? So okay, this is Maya. Of course, we know this enemy is coming to our mind. It is Maya. The mind is being afflicted by Maya. But what happens? Here is our free will. If we get into it, if we succumb to those temptations, then what happens? We are being completely captured. Then our meditation prolongs. So this is dangerous. So we had to be watchful about our mind. In fact, we have in Nectar of Instruction, there are six items, the six principles that help us to progress in our devotional service, starting from Ulsaham, Nishya, Dhairyat. Ulsaham, enthusiasm. When these enemies attack us, what happens to our enthusiasm? It actually drops. Right? Have you noticed? You know, if we are affected by lust or anger, what happens to our enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness? It drops. Similarly, the confidence, it actually, and the perseverance, it drops. We become impatient. When the mind is affected, we become impatient. Have you noticed? Why Krishna is not giving us result? Why my chanting is like this? We become impatient. Then, even we have difficulty in following regulative principles. We have difficulty even being in the association of the devotees. So dangerous. In fact, we may think that our memory is not so good. But the certain situations, our memory become very strong. Anything nonsense happened in our life or a bad thought, that can come just like that. And it becomes completely clear in front of our mind, the eye of the mind. It is completely manifested. Then there is a test. Do we want to go for it or not? Similarly, even anger, it is residing because we have desires. As far as we have desires, the desires are going to be frustrated because there is no choice, because desires has to be frustrated. And as a result, there has to be anger. It can be on a minor level or it can be on a major level. But the anger issue is there with everyone. People think, you know, I don't have any anger problem. People do say, often, you know, materially, you know, I don't have any anger problem. I'm pretty good. No, it's not right. Everyone has anger. It's just the degree varies. And when it comes out, that varies. That's all. It is there. So these enemies are always there. And also think about this. Especially we are in the association of the devotees. We may have difficulty in memorizing verses of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. But think about how our memory is very sharp and clear when it comes to he or she did this to me. Or, you know, he or she said this to me. That point, the whole sequence of events, the whole sequence of dialogues, everything become completely clear. It come to our mind very clearly, sequentially. Everything become very clear. This is Maya. Because we are affected by these enemies of mind. That's why the great acharyas, they warns us, very clearly warns us to stay away, to take precautions. And if we get attacked, to get away from that, to defend and to attack back. So this is our principle. We cannot be always defensive. We have to attack back also. We'll see that. So this is Krishna consciousness. So it is said, one devotee was mentioning that if these negative principles, negative thoughts are coming to our mind, or if we are being attacked by many things, then okay, we may get a slap. Alright, that's fine. But take it in a sportive spirit. Okay, I got one slap from Maya. okay, I'll give one back. Right? So take a sporty spirit. Don't, you know, sports is like that, right? When you play, you know, whether it's a cricket or a soccer, whatever, you know, you may lose or you may be cornered or you may have troubles at one point, but you hit back. That is sportsman spirit, right? You have to. That is play. That is game. In the same way, here we are actually, you know, it's a game, treated as a game where we had to act against Maya. So we cannot be depressed. Oh, it was so bad. Yeah, it was bad. But now, act. This is the time to act. So we had to take it in a sporty spirit. So other example, it is like a fighting. That is more extreme. You know, it's a fight, battle against Maya, Proverbs said. We are declaring battle against Maya. So even battle, we had to fight back. That is Kshatriya spirit, right? But we will not get killed. In this game, we will never get killed. We can always go forward. So this is Krishna consciousness. We had to be ready for the battle. We had to be ready for the game. So mind is playing such a pivotal role in our Krishna consciousness. In fact, the mind is sufficient for suffering because all the sufferings are existing in the mind. Because that is the agency for feeling. So that's where all the suffering is present. There is a very, very interesting verse in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. When I read this verse, I was thinking, oh, this is really far out. It actually shows that we have to control our mind. And if we act externally in any way, but if we don't control our mind, we have to suffer in the same capacity. Same capacity. So the verse is Krishna is telling in the 11th canto. Artehi avidyamanepi samsutir na nivartate dhyayato vishyanasya sopne anarthagamano yatha. For one who is meditating on sense gratification, material life, although lacking factual existence, does not go away. I'll read it again. For one who is meditating on sense gratification, material life, although lacking factual existence, does not go away. An example is given. Just as the unpleasant experience of a dream, do not. You can say the material existence is, you know, dreamlike. In one sense it's true because the soul has nothing to do with the material existence. The only thing we are identifying, that's all. But otherwise, nothing to do with the material existence. It is there, but nothing to do. But the point of connection, okay, the identification is there, but that identification is strengthened the point when we are thinking about sense gratification. So the mind playing that pivotal role in our suffering. So either it is suffering, ultimately it is suffering, whether it is material happiness or material distress. That is Bhagavatam. Both are suffering. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a salt mine. In a salt mine, you can make anything out of salt. You can make a doll out of salt. You can make a stand out of salt. You can make anything, but ultimately it is salt. In the same way, in the material existence, you can make happiness out of it. You can make distress out of it, but it is all distress. From a spiritual point of view, everything is distress. So that's why the verse is, in itself is saying, okay, we have to transcend the so-called material happiness and distress. It is putting the whole thing in front of us. So, mana eva hi manishyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho. We can read this in Bhagavad Gita, this verse is quoted. Mana eva hi manishyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho. The mind is the root cause of liberation as well as bondage. How are you going to use our mind? So, the mind control is given such a stress. Now, here it is mentioned that we have to purify our mind and consciousness. The purport also is very clearly mentioned that the aim is to purify our mind and consciousness. Many people ask one question, you know, consciousness is product of the soul. So if consciousness is the product of the soul, then how can the consciousness be material? Can we see material consciousness? Of course we can say, and we do say that we have material consciousness. So if the consciousness is the product of the soul, then how can it be material? So the point is, yes, consciousness is the product of the soul, but at the same time, after identification, that is being contaminated. And there is a terminology actually Kapiladeva gives in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is called chitta. Chitta means the contaminated consciousness. So in the material existence, we have the contaminated consciousness, and the contaminated consciousness is reflected in the mind, just like a mirror. So if you want to see what's our consciousness, we can look at our mind. Okay, we can see this is our consciousness, this is the stage of our consciousness, and that is nothing but the contaminated consciousness. And as we get purified, we can see a difference. So here, Prabhupada writes in the purport, it is said here that desire and greed are the products of false identification of oneself with the body. So we do simple thing, we do identify with the mind, and the nature of the mind is to demand, to desire. So as soon as we identify, then we have desires and we have material existence. And when we are purified, one becomes transcendental to material happiness and distress. So this is the point. If you read second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Sama Sukham Dukham Dhira. So we can see Sama Dukha Sukham. Here also it is mentioned Adukham Asukham Samam. Same thing. So you can see many places that one has to be equipoised in front of material happiness and distress. So here the point is that usually when we talk about being equipoised to happiness or distress, one may think that one is just like in a complete neutrality. We are not just talking about a neutrality in itself. But yes, we are in a neutrality in connection to matter, in connection to material happiness and distress. But there is transcendental experience in connection to Krishna. So the meaning is, there is a spiritual experience altogether, but in connection to material world, it is neutrality. So one doesn't get too elated when the happy thing comes, or one doesn't get depressed when the things doesn't go in our way. So that is the point. But for a devotee, certainly there is an experience which is superior to the mundane pleasure or distress. So Krishna consciousness is experimental. We can experience this. And in a devotee's life, we can actually go through this. One can see how one feels completely satisfied in serving Krishna, in chanting Krishna's names, in reading Srimad Bhagavatam. We can experience that. So that's why it's an experiential process. It's not just a theory or, you know, just a mental adjustment. Prabhupada often says, it is not a mental adjustment. You know, thinking that, you know, I am happy. Actually, the material existence is mental adjustment. The material happiness and misery is mental adjustment. It is just conditioning of the mind. In fact, there are, I was watching a few, you know, reading and watching a few videos and an article on perceptual psychologists, how they study the mind. That very clearly shows that, you know, happiness and distress, it is in the mind. They bring the same drink, okay, whatever, maybe abominable to mention here, but they bring the same drink and they put it in two different bottles, and they put one cheap label on one and they put an expensive label on the other, and they give people to sample, and invariably the drink which is coming from the expensive label, the bottle with the expensive label, all of them say this is the best, and some of them said we had the best experience in our life drinking this. The same drink, you know, it's just because the label is creating such an impression in the mind, and the sensory experience is completely biased. It's just in the mind. They're showing, yeah, this is how the illusion is affecting the mind. Same with everything. I was seeing one example of nail polish. It is the same colors, two nail polish. One is branded as something else, and one is branded a bit in a cheap way. And they ask different ladies, which is better? Naturally, this is better. The color is so nice. It is looking so, it is, you know, it is giving a particular feel. People are becoming very emotional seeing this particular color of the nail polish. But the reality is the same thing. So this is the point. For us, the Maya is the mind in one sense. Okay, mind is like a tool, but the equivalent of Maya is the mind. The mind is playing up, the impure mind rather. It is acting as Maya. It is giving these perceptions of happiness and distress. It is giving the perceptions of good and bad. So for a devotee, we have to take a step back. Even if some materially good things happen, we have to take a step back. Even we hear all these things, but as a devotee, think about it. Okay, we are going to get a good car, for example. Somebody is going to give a very expensive car. Or we are thinking, oh, I'm going to get an expensive gadget, or I'm going to get a very branded good clothing. What is the immediate thought that comes to the mind? Yeah, it is good. It is going to be good. Yes or no? If you are conditioned this kind of thought, yeah, I understand everything, the happiness, distress, I understand the whole thing, and I'm not attached to anything, but when this proposition comes, then the mind starts shaking. Yes? This is showing our conditioning. Back of our mind, it is just ingrained in our mind. Can you see that? Try to see in our mind. It's ingrained. We can see something good going to happen. Immediately we are thinking, yeah, it is good actually. And something is materially, something is bad going to happen. Immediately we are thinking, yeah, it is going to be disaster. You know, I don't want that. So we can see the attachment and the aversion. Trying to minimize the distress and to increase the happiness. Why do you think people go to astrologers? Why? Because people want to understand, okay, I want to avoid the distress and increase happiness. So, what's going to happen in the future? Am I going to suffer? Am I going to enjoy? That is the basic reason. People do go to astrologers. You know, there are different kinds of astrologies and people do go, you know, go here and there. People go to newspaper, you know, just go to the, okay, this week's whatever chart, this week's results. So, why people do that? Just thinking about this one thing. What's my happiness and what's my distress? So mind plays that role. That is the role of Maya. It is residing in the mind. If you ask many times, the mind is made of three modes of material nature. And what affects the mind? That is also three modes of material nature. So here we are. Now, in the 11th canto, again, there is a very interesting verse, which is again going to the analyzing different reasons for suffering, and ultimately it is coming to the mind. It's in the Bhikshu Gita. Because whenever I think about, I was just thinking about this mind, then again came to this verse. Always I think about this verse. Because it's so interesting, because Bhikshu Gita, the Avanti Brahmana, he took sannyas and he was performing austerities and he was tolerating everything. People, you know, treat him so badly. When he's trying to eat something, they will snatch away his food. People would pass foul air on him. People even would urinate on him. So still, he was tolerating everything and he was meditating on one particular verse. So he was, that is Bhikshu Gita. He was meditating on a series of verses, which is nothing but analyzing the cause of suffering. So here, the conclusive verse by Avanti Brahmana is Dvija Uvacha, Nayam Janome Sukha Dukha Hetu. He's telling, people are not the reason for my suffering or happiness. Nayam Janome Sukha Dukha Hetu. The people around me, because the people are actually causing, giving him so much of distress, but he's telling, they are not the reason for my distress. Interesting viewpoint. Just like we can see the same principle in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, right? When the bull was being beaten by Kali personified, what is the bull saying? Bull is saying, you know, I am getting this reaction through this person, but it doesn't mean that he's the cause of my suffering. So here, same thing. Nayam janome sukha dukha hetu. Then, na devatatma graha karma kala. So here, what we blame for, everything is given, okay? First, we blame people around us. Second, na devatatma. He's telling all the devatas, all the demigods must be throwing a curse on us. He's telling, no, devatas are not the reason. Then he says, na graha. Graha means the planets. Why people go to the astrologers? Graha, because of graha, the planets. What is the planetary position? So here, Avanti Brahman saying, no, na graha. Na karma. This is a bit shocking. What is that? Na karma. Our whole philosophy is based on one principle, right? Everything, what's happening, whether good or bad, it's all material. It's all because of karma. He's telling, it's not even karma. And then he's telling, nakala. Nakala, not even time. Then he says, mana param karanam amananti. Mana param karanam amananti. I see that mana, the mind, is the param karanam, the ultimate cause of suffering. Samsara chakram pravarteyat yad. Samsara chakram pravarteyat yad. Because of that mind, samsara chakram pravarteyat. Because of that, the cycle of samsara is continuing. It is still rotating. Coming to the beginning verse, the same thing. Emana durmoti. So the same principle. So he's telling, why? How come it's not karma? How come it is not kala? So I was thinking actually, why it is not karma, why it's not kala? Because there are reasons, right? Kala, because the awards of karma are coming in due course of time. So kala has to be reason. Karma has to be reason because we are the cause. We have done something good or bad. So here, why Avanti Brahman speaks in this way? Because he is looking from the current point of view. If you look back, now why am I suffering? Because of my mind. But the karmas has given me mind in this condition, or karma must have produced a circumstance in this way. But ultimately, it is the mind. Now the suffering is existing in the mind, and one can go beyond the mind, or go beyond the suffering if one can transcend the mind, or purify the mind. So ultimate reason is the mind. The karma, kala, etc., everything can provide the circumstance, it can provide the situation, but the suffering is dependent on the mind. So it is coming from this point of view. It's not talking from the action from which we have done this lifetime or the previous lifetime and coming all the way to the current condition. Rather, it is looking from our current position, looking backward. So if you're looking top, first we see the ceiling. In the same way, it's telling, okay, my suffering is because of my mind. So this is Avanti Brahman's conclusion. So as mentioned in this purport, we can see some people may have some alternative to bhakti, right? The proverb says, only desire is to... So some people, what is mentioned, Srila Prabhupada says that one cannot make the mind vacant. The mind is the cause of suffering. So one cannot make the mind vacant. Of course, there are some foolish attempts to try to make the mind vacant or void. But that is not possible. Interesting. We cannot make the mind void. People say, we can have only one desire. That desire is to remove all the desires. So when we remove that one desire, then the mind becomes devoid of any desires. Have you heard this? Only one desire, and that is to remove all the desires. And when you remove that desire, then we will be devoid of that desire. But if you take a step back, actually there is one desire. Desire to remove the desire, to remove the desire, you know. So one will never come to the state of being desireless. One can try for some time, but it doesn't work. But now it has taken another shape. This philosophy has taken another shape. That is in the form of mindfulness. Being in the present, that can solve all the problems. Being in the present, there is mindfulness meditation. Some part of this meditation is just focusing on the incoming and outgoing breath. And just be relaxed. Don't be judgmental. Just let go. You just observe. Yeah. This is one kind of meditation. But this cannot really, it may give some relief for some time because the mind is so agitated. And it's engaged so much, body and the mind engaged in so much of sense gratification. So taking out from all these activities, it can help definitely a little bit. But it cannot go any deeper, right? And another kind of meditation, 10 minutes, tasting raisins in mindfulness. He said, then it'll make the day much peaceful. Yeah, really. Tasting raisins in mindfulness. Taste it each bite you take for the raisins. Each bite you taste it. Relish that make your mind calm. It is there. It's a standardized process. Millions of dollars have been spent to taste raisins in mindfulness, by the way. In America, many universities, they spent a lot of money. So yes, that is going on. Prabhupada is telling, you know, this speculation can come in this way or the other way. But it doesn't have any substance behind. So the only process is engaging mind. Engaging mind for the activities which are beyond matter. And that is Krishna consciousness. Even Patanjali says, the first sutra of the Yoga Sutra is Yoga Chitta Vritti Niruddha. Stop all the Chitta Vritti. Stop all the activities of the mind. That is yoga. According to Patanjali, that is the first sutra. Actually, Patanjali, he explains yoga in one level and he ultimately explains, you know, what is the real devotion. You know, he hints. He understands what is devotional service. He understands. Even though that is not the main focus of the Yoga Sutras. And some of the acharyas, even Even some of them, Shankaracharya, when they have commented on the Yoga Sutra, they mentioned the ultimate aim of yoga is Krishna. He mentioned not even Vishnu or Narayan. He said the ultimate aim of yoga is Krishna. So this is how it is devotional, even though it is a slow process. It can take many lifetimes. So this is the situation. So the process is we have to engage these propensities in service of Krishna. Right. As Narottam Das Thakur says, kamam Krishna karmarpane. Kamam, if you have lust, if you have strong, intense desire, okay, use that desire in serving Krishna. I want to do this for Krishna. I want to do that for Krishna. I want to preach for Krishna. I want to cook for Krishna. I want to distribute prasadam for Krishna. We can have intense desire in the mind to serve Krishna. So that is the proper use of desire. Kamam Krishna karmarpane. And krodham bhakta dveshi jane. We had to be mindful about this though. Bhakta dveshi jane mein krodham, the anger can be utilized against the people who are against the devotees. One shouldn't be physical, one has to be mindful, one has to have some sense control. But one can be angry about the society, one can be angry about the mentality of people who are against the devotees and devotee service, who are propagating just sense gratification. That can give an impetus to preach Krishna consciousness. Then Narottam Das Thakur says, moha ishta labha vina. Moha ishta labha vina. Meaning, moha or illusion can be used. One can be illusioned because I am feeling illusion because I don't have Krishna. One can feel illusioned in that way. Well, I don't have Krishna. I want Krishna. I want to serve Krishna. But I don't have Krishna, so I am in illusion. So one can use illusion in that way. And then he says, lobha sadhu sange harikatha. Lobha, greed. One can be easily greedy for money or material possessions, but use the same propensity in harikatha and for sadhu sangha, for association for the devotees. Yeah, I want to listen to lectures. I want to read Bhagavatam. If you feel like that, it's really good. Otherwise, we are in trouble. again another Bhagavatam class. I had to read Bhagavad Gita. So that is the opposite. We had to feel, okay, I want to read. I don't have enough time to read. It's actually good. It's actually a good sign. If you feel, I don't have enough time to read. I'm reading something, but I don't have enough time. I want more time to read Bhagavatam. That's a good sign. That is lobha. That is greed. But there's no limit to that greed. That is lobha. Sadhu Sanghe Harikatha. And Mada Krishna Guna Gane. Mada. Mada means madness. So it is in one place madness is allowed. What is that? Krishna Guna Gane. That is while singing Krishna's glories, while chanting and dancing, one can be mad. Right? We had a kirtan, everyone is jumping up and down and it's like madmen. So that is recommended. Why? Because the ultimate aim of devotional service is to make everyone mad. Have you heard this? The aim of devotional service. Actually, Bhagavatam, one verse is in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. A very nice verse. Because that is describing the prema bhakti. Evam sapriya namakritya jata nirago hrida chitta ucche hasatyato rodidira udigayat unmadavan nirtyadi loga bhakya. This is what happened to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was initiated by Ishwarapuri and he started chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Then after some time, he was feeling madness in ecstasy. So he approached Ishwarapuri and told, what happened to you? What happened to me? What have you given me? So immediately Ishwarapuri recited this verse, Evam Sopriya Namagirtiya. By chanting the names of the dear Lord, Jata Anurago Hrida Chitta Ucche. Then what happened? There is an intense attraction is produced in the heart. That Ucchai means loudly. Hasatyadho. Ucchai, laughing very loudly. Hasatyadho, roditi, crying. This is, one is laughing and one is crying immediately. How? Unmadaman nirtyati loga bahya. Unmadaman nirtyati. And one is chanting as if mad. Loka bahya. Loka bahya means without caring about the rest of the society. That's what Mahaprabhu did. So we are getting trained to be transcendentally mad. So that is mentioned in this verse as beyond the so-called material happiness and distress. So if we have we experienced beyond material happiness and distress? Yes, we have. How? In chanting and dancing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But we have to chant and dance. In the ecstasy of dancing, if you are not chanting, that's not real ecstasy. Then we are trying to enjoy materially dancing. We are trying to enjoy materially the steps. So one has to be careful whether are we chanting properly Krishna's name. So while chanting Krishna's name, then one can dance. And one can forget about the rest of the world. So that is one safe place to avoid Maya. That is Kirtan Ras. This is the mellow of Kirtan. In that proverb says, one can be completely safe from the six enemies. Because hardly, that is one place. If you are really chanting and dancing, then one is quite protected from the six enemies of the mind. That we can practically experience. So we talked a bit about the mind. Its diseases, the terminal diseases of the mind. And how can we engage mind in Krishna service. And we can go beyond that. We can transcend the so-called material happiness and distress, which are ultimately nothing but distress. So I see, is there any questions or comments? Yes, Madhuri.
Prabhu, you mentioned that if we have some passion or intense desire, we can dovetail this to like how we can passionately serve Krishna. But like in our everyday life, we see that these days to achieve even a small thing, we need to develop that external passion, like even for a material goal. And whatever energy we have of our mind, we have to, even if we don't have, we have to somehow bring it in to, you know, really strive for that goal and think very strongly that, yeah, I want this. Because it's not easy to, it's not, nothing is easily available. Things that are more, you know, our parents got easily, we can't get it easily, you know. And then at some stage, our energy is finished. So we, when we come to actually achieve something for Krishna, then we have, because there's only a certain amount, and then
actually, yeah, so the question is, we have limited energy or limited enthusiasm, and that we are utilizing for our material pursuits because they demand a certain amount of energy, passion, and activities. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, we feel exhausted in terms of enthusiasm and energy. So how is it possible to have enthusiasm? In fact, for a devotee, and in Krishna consciousness, we can get unlimited enthusiasm despite our work in the outside world. How? There is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto, in the same canto. Krishna says, it is mentioned that the Lord inspires someone when he thinks about Krishna. So Krishna's inspiration is coming when we think about Krishna. So if we think about Krishna, then we will get inspiration to do service. And if we forget Krishna, the Lord says, then I will remove that inspiration. So what's the process? If you want inspiration, if you want enthusiasm, we need to think about Krishna. And if you don't think about Krishna, Krishna will remove. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto. So practically, how can we achieve that? We can achieve that by attentive chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So if we spend our energy, at least we need to have some energy. We will have some energy. At least we have initiated devotees, or at least we have taken a vow that we will chant at least 16 rounds. So if we make our 16 rounds attentive, then we can feel that we become enthused in serving Krishna. We become inspired in serving Krishna. So we get energy, we get enthusiasm to serve Krishna. If we have quality chanting in the morning, then we can feel that enthusiasm during the day. It's a practical experience. So I would say we had to start from the root, which is chanting. Because chanting is remembering Krishna. Chanting is meditating on Krishna. From chanting, everything will come. So we are not really deprived of energy. Krishna will give enthusiasm. Does that answer? Yeah. Yes, Madhuri.
Where does the mind come from?
Where does the mind come from? Just like everything is coming from Krishna, we know that mind is also coming from Krishna. However, if you talk about the mind, it is one of the material elements. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhumirapo analovayu gham mano buddhirevacha ahankara idiyame bhinna prakritir ashtatha. So Krishna says, Just like we have the Pancha Mahabhutas, the earth, water, fire, ether, etc., the material elements. In the same way, mind is also a material element. It's not gross, but subtle. So if we consider the covering of the material universe, first there are gross coverings, starting from earth, water, fire, etc. Then the final coverings are that of made of mind, intelligence, and false ego, which are 10 times, 10-fold higher in terms of its thickness. So that's where the presence of material mind, when we consider from a universal perspective. And that mind, in terms of creation, we are placed in a body where there's a subtle covering, which is mind, where the subtle covering of mind is there. So yeah, it is product of the matter. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
You are mentioning about six enemies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anger is one of them. We can imply anger also in Krishna's service.
Yes.
Like Lord Hanuman.
Yes, that's right. Thank you very much. Granthrashyamad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.